People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trojan welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. The 1st of December, the start of the festive season, and one of the great highlights of the festive season is undoubtedly Peter Turin's production of My Fair Lady, that most magnificent musical, and has always been a great favorite of mine. What's interesting in this production, apart from a really star-studded cast, is that there are two Eliza Doolittles, Brittany Smith and Leah Marie. Both of them are in the studio with me to talk about the Cockney side of their lives. Ladies, welcome, Brittany, Leah.
Hi there, Rodney. Thanks for having us.
You must, first of all, may I just say, Brittany, you are working very hard. We spoke on this very program some months ago for La Traviata.
Yes, that was last year, November.
Can you believe it? Was it last year?
Yes,
it was a year
last
ago.
Year, November, literally.
Wow. Then up you popped on the stage with The Sound of Music.
Yes.
And then up you popped on the stage with
Orpheus
McAdoo, and now you are Eliza.
Yes, what
and
an
once
interesting
again,
journey.
You and Leah are together, aren't you? Because didn't you, Leah, understudy, not understudy,
I was what you would call an alternate, but in a lesser capacity. So, because we had three sets of kids, I would assist sometimes in rehearsals.
But you were also an alternative Maria.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so yeah. I did the matinees.
Okay. Well, there's lots to find out about you two, but it must be, do you spend lots of time talking to each other about how you're going to approach these roles? Because Stephen Stead is the director of the show, and I've often thought that when there are two people alternating the same role, it must be tricky. But surely you don't move exactly the same, do you? Or does it happen like that more or less?
I don't think tricky at all. I mean, Leah and I worked so well together. During Sound of Music, we sort of, you know each other's knacks and know each other's, we can preempt, you know, mm-hmm. what the one is going to do. And I think what is so amazing about the two of us, and we spoke about this briefly last week sometime, is that we both approach the role differently. And I think that in turn makes it so interesting to watch. If I have to tell someone to come and watch My Fair Lady, I wouldn't say come and watch me only. I'd say come and watch Leah and I. Because we bring so much of our own little things into the role. And I think that is what is going to make us, as Eliza Doolittle, very lovable to the public.
Mm. And you obviously agree with all that, dear.
Absolutely.
What Brittany has just said, yeah.
Absolutely. There's a certain level that has to remain the same, you know, in terms of
yes, obviously.
Blocking, what we call it, you know, the way we move around the stage. Also from a safety point of view,
yes.
You can't, you know, necessarily go on your own whim and change things around because we've got a beautiful moving, revolving set done by Craig King.
Yes.
And it's absolutely stunning. And then also musically as well, you know, we have to stay within the constraints of,
yes.
not the constraints, my word, the honor of the honor of the music. So there's, you know, there's the technique about it where there are similarities. But to highlight what Britt said is with casting, we were each cast because there's different elements of ourselves that are in Eliza.
Yes.
And how lovely that we get two Elizas where we come from, you know, different backgrounds or we have different states of being or states of mind and we both get to offer and share with Eliza in two very different but very beautiful and truthful ways.
And I think that the men of this production are very lucky because they never know what they are going to get on the day.
That is the truth.
And besides, they have two very beautiful ladies with them.
Thank you.
There you are.
Sweet.
You see. Because Eliza, you know, if you think back to the film with Audrey Hepburn, initially she's quite a plain, obviously, almost dirty-looking woman before she becomes this glamorous person at the ball. So it's a role that requires lots of follow-through, for want of a better word.
Absolutely.
Do you agree, Brittany?
Yes, you have to color in from the moment you see her on that stage, the moment the overture ends and the intro music into the first scene plays, you have to start coloring her in. You cannot leave that to the last minute because she is such a diverse person. I speak of her as a person because there's a little bit of Eliza Doolittle in every one of us women speaking. Let me put it that way. Very strictly speaking, women.
Do you agree, Leah?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
And
yes.
to start coloring her in from the very beginning sets the precipice of, I wonder what she's going to end up as at the end of the production. And I think there, Stephen Stead really brought out the best in the both of us. He really said, dig deep, because she's a deep person. Everyone thinks Eliza is, you know, a silly girl, that she doesn't know anything. No, she's incredibly intelligent. She thinks quick on her feet. Why? Because of her circumstances. Mm-hmm. And if you look at someone that comes from, and I say this in inverted commas, the lower class side today, they are quick thinkers. They are intelligent because they know life doesn't wait for them. And that's
Eliza.
That's a very
interesting point. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. You picked that up. In fact, it never occurred to me that right from the beginning, you are aware that Eliza is a bright spark.
Yes.
She's a bright spark. She's not just some, as they say at one stage in the show, squashed cabbage leaf.
Absolutely not. Or gutter snipe. Not at all.
No. She's got something right from the beginning.
Definitely.
And how do you cope with the accent?
Well, we've had a very amazing accent coach, Claire Belaine, and she's helped me specifically because I've never had, you know, accent coaching with regards to opera and so on, because we sort of learn the languages on university and then, you know, the more we sing it, the more it sets in.
Mm-hmm.
But having to deal with three different types of accents for me was really a challenge, especially when it comes to the received pronunciation. It's like, you know, a little bit of my KP accent would slip in there every now and then. And then I have to like, be aware of myself. But what I really love about the way Leah and I portray the two accents is that there's something different in our voice that makes something that isn't necessarily that I do funny, but what Leah says and does incredibly hilarious. And I think we also, you know, when we run lines off one another, Leah will very helpfully tell me, why don't you try saying it like this, you know, with this type of intention behind it. I'm always keen to learn. I'm always keen to listen. And I think the fact that we work so well on that together makes it easy work.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Gosh, that's interesting that you're constantly helping each other as well.
100%. And to speak more on the accent as well, there's a very athletic ability that you have to develop. You know, you don't, as any athlete doesn't wake up and decide they're going to do a 20K. I certainly couldn't tomorrow. but naturally, it's been so interesting to learn about where our South African accent sits. And it's a lot, without offending anyone, it's a lot flatter and a lot lazier.
Definitely.
And then there's a lot more muscularity. So there's a real science behind it. You have to learn about the anatomy of it and the kind of the structure and what makes that accent so. But what is so lovely about this show is that the music helps so much with the accent. When Eliza's singing in her Cockney style, it's very speech-like singing. All I want is a room somewhere. It's light, it's energetic, it's bouncy, it's spontaneous. Mm. And then you get to I Could Have Danced All Night, which everybody knows. And it's beautiful, lyrical. The words are, it's legato. Everything's, you know, moving together. It flows. So while we watch her accent change and her demeanor change, the music supports that so brilliantly.
That's very interesting. That's so well, I'll have to listen again all over.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about music, let's have a music break. Shall you go first, Brittany?
Yes,
what have you chosen?
I've chosen Fantasmas by Jumbe, and it's a Spanish song that speaks about memories. And it just, whenever I listen to it, whether I'm feeling happy or sad, it just, it comforts me.
Sueño, no me quiero despertar y me falla un poco más mi realidad. Aún los llevo pasando por la yugular y el recuerdo se temporal. En esta casa no existen fantasmas, son puro recuerdo de tiempos ajenos, de buenos momentos. En el cielo volaban los buitres que auguran descenso. Hacemos eternos.
esta casa no existen fantasmas, son puros recuerdos, son mil sentimientos de lo que vivimos cuando tú estabas aquí.
That piece by Humber called Phantasmas, and it was the first choice of one of my two guests on People of Note this week, Brittany Smith, who is playing the part of Eliza Doolittle in the Peter Turin production of My Fair Lady, which opens on the 12th of December here. Also in the studio with me is Leo Mari, who is alternating the role with Brittany. And we've been talking about, interesting what you said, Leo, about the muscular difference with different accents. Mm-hmm. You don't sort of think of that. And maybe something especially like Cockney, which is quite wild. Can you demonstrate any Cockney for us? Or is that unfair of me to ask?
No, that's all right. So there's a lot of changing that goes on in your mouth. You can see in studio, of course, but to describe to those at home, you're really opening your mouth a lot. Certain vowels and certain letters change as well. There's certain rules, you know, like a...
And you omit letters as well.
Yes, you always omit.
No H. They don't
no
say
H's.
Very little T's.
And very little T's.
Can I help you?
Mm.
There you go. Can I help you?
So you need to think about it. And also, you don't say think, you say think. You need to think about it. And, you know, it's like you're carrying a light bulb in your mouth.
Is it tricky to keep it going? Because we know it changes.
Not at all. Can I just say something interesting? In one of our dialect sessions, I said to Claire, I find the Cockney way more interesting in terms of where it sits and where my KP accent sits. It's very close.
Really?
Very, very close.
Have you got a KP accent?
I do. I'm just speaking in my radio voice now. That's my KP accent. I have a radio voice, which my husband calls my work voice, my posh voice. And then I have my KP accent when I speak to people and I'm comfortable.
Okay. And you say that the Cockney thing is close to the Cape?
Very. There's just
where
certain,
it sits in your throat.
Yes. Certain aspects of how far the tongue drops at the back. That similarity helps me a lot.
And then in singing, I mean, she's got that lovely song at the beginning, as you said just now, All I Want Is a Room Somewhere.
Wouldn't it be lovely?
Wouldn't it be lovely? Yeah. Singing with that accent, is that tricky as well? Because you're using, as you said, different muscles, and you've been trained as a singer, you know, to sing normally.
Right. I think it's less about using different muscles and more about keeping your mouth muscles and your speaking muscles engaged. So I think it's the great challenge was, before we even started rehearsals, just getting that accent into my subconscious. Because, you know, when you're doing a live show, you don't want to be thinking about the technique. And that's why we train, you know.
Exactly.
You want to be present and in the moment. So there was a lot of learning and kind of unlearning as well. Mm-hmm. And also the beauty is with a show like this, you know exactly what accent you're singing when. So once you... While you become familiar with the material, you do it in the accent anyway. Mm. So it's not necessarily about changing it. But it is an interesting conversation. There are moments where you kind of have to manipulate a little bit and say, okay, I can't necessarily spread out. I have to spread down.
And just touching on what you said about, you know, you have singing techniques. So for me, I find the middle bit, or say the B section of Henry Higgins, quite difficult because, you know, all the people will celebrate. I want to sing all the people will celebrate the glory, but I can't.
No, that's your operatic voice.
That's the operatic. That's the well-rounded singing.
Yeah.
No, I cannot. I have to spread and I have to smile on, which is horrible. It sounds like tin.
But that's what it's meant to sound like.
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to sound unrefined. It's supposed to sound wild. And that was something that I not struggled with, but I had to get over very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Was it the same for you, Leah, in that song, that particular song with that high pitch?
I think Britt and I maybe have different, we're coming from different places, right? I studied at a musical theater college. And so, funnily enough, I sang one of the songs from My Fair Lady ages ago for like a little prac. So it was lovely to revisit it. But I think coming from more of a musical theater space, there's a different sound quality. Mm-hmm. So my entry point was a lot more speak singy or belty or speech like. And for me, I had to really work hard and train those muscles for the songs that Eliza sings, like I Could Have Danced All Night and Without You, because that's more of like that beautiful lyrical golden age sound.
Yes, the golden age sound.
Yes.
Interesting, because now we spoke about Wouldn't It Be Lovely. What's the real word? That's called Wouldn't It Be Lovely.
Wouldn't it be lovely.
And then by comparison, you sing the famous I Could Have Danced All Night.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think now. That's the posh accent you sing, because that's after all the training and after the ball.
Yes.
So you have to sing that almost in an operatic style, could you?
Yes. Not? I approach it that way, because I, speaking from my own experience with it, I cannot belt that out. I'd hurt myself. I would do irreparable damage. So, but it also helps, once again, like Leah said, with the music supporting that type of accent in that moment. You can't, I could have danced all night. It's, I could have danced all night. Because where is the RP sitting? It's sitting up there. Your soft palate has to be lifted all the time. And that for me, I mean, look, it's a very big scene. We sing three numbers in there. We are jumping around. Yeah. We are really like doing a lot. And it's nice to just be able to sit back and really like breathe in and fill my lungs. I'm not sure if you feel the same way, but fill my lungs with oxygen after like panting like a tired dog, to be able to sing the music like that. And what is going to be fantastic is when the band comes in and you hear the little flute and the violin and sometimes a little piccolo. I'm not sure if they're going to add that one in, but that helps a lot.
Chills.
So also for the rest of the music that we sing at the end, it helps a lot.
Remember now what you said, Leah, that thing where you said the music helps the accent. That shows that the composers know what they're doing.
Yes.
Like in the operas, like Verdi in Traviata, he knew what he was doing. He knew what the soprano could do.
Yes.
As you demonstrated so spectacularly.
Unlike Mozart, who hated that one soprano and made us sing the Queen of the Night.
Oh, shame, yes. But you've done your own share of Mozart, haven't you?
I have.
Marriage of Figaro, I think.
Yes, I have. And I've done Marriage of Figaro twice. Once where I was playing Cherubino, which is a pants role, mezzo role, but the soprano could sing it. It's easy work. But I think that really set the precipice for me to work on my middle voice, because it helped a lot. And then I sang the title role, which is Susanna.
Yes.
In my opinion, it should be The Marriage of Susanna and not Figaro, because this whole entire opera goes on about her. But it helps a lot with the musical theater aspect, because I mean, I listen to Leah sometimes when she's singing, you know, the real like musical theater belty welty stuff, and I sit there and I relish, because it's so delicious. It's like you sit there and you're engulfed by all of the sound, and you think to yourself, the human voice is an incredible thing.
Well, I feel the same listening to you sing I Could Have Danced All Night. I really do. We one and the same.
And what's nice, what seems to be coming across, is that neither of you is jealous of the other. You're both so enjoying each other's performance. There's no competition.
I said to Leah, absolutely not. There's healthy competition.
Yeah, which is good.
She keeps me on my toes.
And vice versa.
And I think it's important to stress that we cannot do this without the other.
Mm.
You need the support. It's a big role.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very big role. You can put it up with the Lucias. You can put it up with the Susannas and the Violetas.
So it's much bigger than Maria in Sound of Music.
Like way times that bigger. By three.
Yes. Oh, really?
Four
really.
Maybe. At
way
a stretch.
Bigger.
I think what makes this show so challenging is that it's got a much denser book than you'd expect for a musical.
Mm.
And I wouldn't even say that's a disadvantage. I think, you know, again, it's written so well, and the book scenes are just as crucial and just as enjoyable and engaging as the music. But like, as Britt is saying, we need each other to get through this, and we're lucky to have each other, because beyond all of that as well, how lucky are we that we aren't on every single night for this particular show, because the owls and the glockles
and
this.
It can get to you.
It's a lot. And right now we're in the process of building stamina and running the show, getting ready for audiences to see it. So yeah, we're getting there, and what a joy it is to have such a supportive counterpart.
Of course, and you know, this musical is all about women empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That indeed.
Girls' world.
It is.
Starts with male chauvinism and ends with women's triumph.
Yes.
So, Leah, your first piece of music is, in fact, from The Sound of Music.
Yes.
What have you chosen?
I've chosen The Sound of Music from The Sound of Music.
Come to an end.
come out to tell me it's time to go. But deep in the dark green shadows are voices that urge me to stay. So I pause and I wait and I listen for one more sound, for one more lovely thing that the hills might say.
And it was a choice of Leah Murray, who is one of my guests here in People of Note this week. And we're talking about My Fair Lady along with Brittany Smith. Leah and Brittany are alternating the role of Eliza Doodleton. We've been talking about the accents and all that. But I just want to talk about accents. What about Craig O'Barney? I remember being quite surprised when he was chosen as Henry Higgins, because I kind of associate him with musicals like, well, he was in The Sound of Music as the Captain. And he was also in the Buddy Holly story. So I kind of almost can't imagine him being Professor Higgins. No. How is he doing?
I think Craig is doing such a fantastic job.
Definitely.
He brings so much joy and wit and intelligence to this role. And Henry Higgins requires just as much strictness as he does comedy and lightheartedness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so easy for Henry Higgins to become the tyrant in the show and the naysayer, but I think that it's the casting was fantastically done because Craig brings so much charm. He's so lovely to work with he kind of, you know, he sets up the story in a very careful and intentional way with Higgins and not making him the guy that we hate from the get-go. In fact, you know, as much as we love Eliza and this is Eliza's story, there's also a part of the audience that empathizes with Higgins and kind of wants him to change because we see his potential. You know, how can a man so charming be so, you know, ignorant to social cues?
And I think what he does well as well is after the lighthearted confrontation in the conservatory of Mrs. Higgins is that he makes Higgins look so pathetic. And it's the thing of the body where he's like flabbergasted, like, you know,
faffing.
Yeah, he's faffing about silly little things. And he puts, what Craig does is what I find absolutely hilarious is he's wearing this trench coat. He's got this hat and he puts his knees together and he puts the trench coat over his knees and he sits with his hands on his lap, and it makes him look so pathetic that you actually feel sorry for him, because he's, how would I say in my own language, he looks tatty.
And then he turns around and sings his songs with the most incredible technique and vigor and performance. I mean, I've been a massive fan of Craig's for a very long time. And I mean, I saw him in The Sound of Music in Durban in what, 2016, I think it was. And, it was a big, full circle moment playing, opposite him last year in The Sound of Music, having seen him in The Sound of Music. So working with him now in this capacity is just divine.
Yeah. Higgins should be essentially charming, as you said, and even a little bit sexy.
Yes, but we can't tell Craig that.
No, yeah, we're not allowed. We're not allowed.
Because, I mean, Rex Harrison is the sort of man.
Right,
yeah.
And even him with his horribleness, there was something charming and something mischievous about him.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's I think it's the quality that comes from it being unintentional. You know, he's not, he's certainly not aware of that. I think the character Professor Higgins is so focused, and he's you know, arguably just as ambitious as Eliza. He's just a little bit filtered, and he's also a victim of his own circumstance, growing up in the upper middle class, and you know, he's lived one sort of life. So I think when these two characters meeting from different ends of the spectrum, and they meet, and then they kind of butt heads because of their cultural differences, but also because of the way that they express themselves. Henry has the words to express himself eloquently and with intelligence and with pace, whereas Eliza maybe takes a little longer to find the words. It's an interesting clash, but one that sets up a incredibly interesting show.
Yeah, with that tension the tension, and the way it starts with him being all thing and her being all common,
yes,
and then ending so beautifully. And you working, Brittany, this time with the same directors you worked with on The Sound of Music,
yes,
Stephen Stead. And so I'm expecting it to be a great looking show.
Oh, it's spectacular.
Because of Stephen. And then you earlier, Leah, said about the set.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the costumes and the set and the flowers.
So we're doing this in a very Art Nouveau, Art Deco type of setting, keeping true to the period. We had our costume, I'm not allowed to give away too much,
but we had our
costume fitting the other day, and I must say my favorite two dresses is obviously that from the Ascot scene
and the ball.
Yeah.
We get to wear tiara, and you know, it's really true. The men look dapper, the Cockney street people, they look like the working class. They've got dirty hands, dirty fingernails, dirty, you know, smudges on their face, little pea caps and things like that. And whereas, you know, you get Higgins and Colonel Pickering wearing their top hats to the opera and or to the ball. It's just, it's beautiful. It's going to look beautiful. And I think the Greg King did amazing work with the set. When we saw the set model, I've got a very vivid imagination, so I think I'm blessed that way, that I can, if I see something there in front of me, I know exactly what it's going to look like in real life. But I don't think I am, or we are, prepared for what it's going to look like on stage when we see it for the first time. And
absolutely,
I think the audiences are going to be transported into a new world. And for me, that's a hopeless romantic. The perfect date night musical to go and watch. And I'm super excited. Marita Visaghi and her team are working tirelessly to get everyone's costumes, because it's a big cost.
It is a big cost. Yes, I surprised. And this, as we said earlier, there's much more dancing and dancers than I expected in the clips I've seen so far.
Definitely. But it's going to be a beautiful.
Oh.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you, I'm thinking about it now and I'm getting goosebumps, you know, for what's to come. But if you take the set and the costumes and pair that with the incredible choreography by Dwayne Alexander,
yes,
who we've both had the pleasure of working with.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's just, there's those iconic numbers that everybody knows, you know, like Get Me to the Church,
which
and
is going
little
to
bit
be
of luck.
A showstopper.
Absolutely.
Who's singing Doolittle?
That's Mark Richardson.
Mark Richardson, that's
yes.
right.
Yes. He's doing such a great
job. Oh, he's fantastic. He's perfectly cast Doolittle. Yeah.
Because I think that's a tricky role to cast.
Yes.
Because it's a certain sort of atmosphere that he has to create.
Yes.
And visual atmosphere as
And he is, as Eliza would say, bloody good at it.
Mark Richardson, gosh, that's great news. And the conductor, who's the music director?
Music director is Kevin Kruk, once again.
Oh, yes, Kevin
Kruk. The amazing Kevin Kruk.
He worked with you on Orpheus McAdoo.
Orpheus and Sound of Music.
And Sound of Music.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have another piece of music now. And Brittany, it's your turn this time. And it looks like Down by the Sally Gardens with Golda Schultz.
Yes. Oh, it's one of my favorite pieces from her album, This Be a Verse. And when I first heard it, it made me weep. It's so beautiful. So tenderly done.
That was Golda Schultz, This Be Her Verse, and the song was called Down by the Sally Gardens. It was the choice of Brittany Smith, who's one of my guests on People of Note this week, and the other is Leah Mari. They both, incidentally, alternating the role of Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady, which opens on the 12th of December here at the Artscape Opera House. But, Leah, I see that you were saying that you're a trained musical singer, and you worked with Lamta. You worked with Anton Leighton and Dwayne at the Lamta Academy, which is doing so well.
It is. I'm so proud of that being my college that I went to. I went to Lamta from 2021 up until 2023, and Dwayne and Anton were my directors. And yeah, the course there is divine because it really covers everything that you would need in your toolbox as a musical theater performer: singing, dancing, acting, putting them all together, doing them individually. So I think that, you know, Lamta really sets up their students for success in that they cover all the bases, as well as a series of classes that are around theater technology, like stage management, and also show business, you know, how to market yourself, how to carry yourself in the industry, and how to hopefully have a long career. That's the goal.
It's clearly working, and I'm sure you'll agree, because there are Lamta students now who are doing incredibly well.
They're everywhere. We're everywhere.
Apart from the actual shows that Lamta puts on, like Spring Awakening,
Spring Awakening was
a huge success.
Fantastic, directed by Sylvain Strike, who's also one of the lecturers there. Fantastic.
So it do well. And as you said earlier, Brittany, it's such a different discipline, isn't it, that you both come from?
Definitely.
The world of musical theatre and the world of opera. Because you trained as an opera singer. People like Virginia Davis trained you.
Yes, she did indeed. And I think it's amazing, because there was this one little move that that I had to do in our last song without you. And I couldn't marry the arm movements to the leg movements. And everyone just burst out laughing, including myself. And I said to Leah, I was like, you take me and you move my arms and my body so that I can get this in. And I mean, she's just been a great help with all the choreography, because me and my two left feet, yay.
Because I mean, that was me when I first started at Lamta. I had done some dance training or like little shows or little musicals, amateur musicals back home in Durban. But having to start from the kind of ground floor and build my way up and dance over those 3 years was a challenge. But here
now
we are.
I presume, Leah, you will not tackle opera, because you've been trained in quite a different way.
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, I did have like an opera teacher for a little while in high school, because I had a bit of a vocal injury for quite some time, and I had to stop singing completely for a year because of some really severe vocal damage.
Could you speak?
I could speak, but I had to go to speech therapy as well and kind of relearn
how.
And I think it's, funnily enough, I started singing and playing music and playing the piano from a very young age because my parents are both musicians. So there's a stunning little photo of me as like a toddler, something like 2-3 years old, sitting at the piano with my dad's sunglasses on. It's quite funny. But I think, you know, I developed some habits very early on because I started so early, like from the time I was 3, I was making my own little songs. So, you know, it was a choice to I was kind of forced into the choice because of the vocal injury to take a step back. And it was tricky, you know, not having my voice, which was my identity for a year and not being able to participate in what I loved so much. But it was the best thing I could have done because here I am today. And so, yeah, so I did a little bit of opera training, less for the purpose of executing opera and performing opera, but more from a holistic and a vocal health point of view. And it was the best thing I could have ever done. Because
really, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's about the instrument, right? And,
yes.
And if you have a solid foundation and a solid instrument, you know, ideally, at least for me, I want to be able to sing as many genres as possible, you know, and because I think that every story is, you know, when there's a story that comes to me that I want to play or that I want to sing, I want to equip myself with the strongest instrument to do so.
And what could be stronger and more personal than a voice?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
What caused your vocal injury? Was it overwork? Were you pushing yourself too far too quickly?
Yeah. I think one, bad habits, you know, like I sang the most when I was sitting down and I was a lazy little teenager with bad posture. So
all of that affects you.
Yeah. But yeah, I think overuse and also I changed schools somewhere through high school and oh, I won't give you all the gory details, but I missed my old teacher. That's
okay. All right. No, as I said before, it's such a personal thing, isn't
it? Yeah, so personal.
But, Brittany, you went through the mill of learning to be an opera singer as well.
Definitely.
With people like Virginia Davids, as
yes.
you said. And you've been a bit of a star, hasn't she, Leah? Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, no.
I get starstruck all the time.
You know, it's so funny, Rodney, when people say that about me and I just look at them and I go, because
it's true. I went to go and watch Brit in McAdoo and I waited at the stage door. I was like, hello. She's like, hi.
So like I don't know, I just, you know, I just do what I love and I do it to the best of my ability.
I missed your Lucia, by the way.
Yeah, it's fine, there's a recording.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Recording. Yeah, it's video recording.
It's not the same as being in the hall in the theater.
That was fun.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, that was fun.
But it's big stuff you're doing on the opera stage. That in Traviata, Violetta is a big Verdi soprano role. That.
Big sing, always on stage, only off stage to do a quick costume change and then back on again. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped me with the, you know, stamina, building a new type of stamina for musical theater. And I like where I am in my career right now. Actually, no, I love where I am in my career now. I feel comfortable. I want to try new things. You know, I've approached Anton and to ask him if I could, you know, take some lessons in acting. Because I would love to. Yeah, personally, in his spare time, if he has time for me. Because he's very busy and very successful. So, yeah, it's just something I always think that you need to be well-rounded when you are a musician. You can't just be one thing.
Yes.
And this is teaching me how to access things that I didn't know I had.
Yeah. But at the same time, you have to be careful.
That too.
You're young and you mustn't push your voice too hard. So
that
no
too.
Wagner just yet.
Absolutely not. Never, ever. Oh, no.
You'll have to leave the studio now. Sorry. Your next choice of music is coming up now. And this is the choice of Leah. What is your next piece?
This next piece means so much to me. When I was a little girl, this was the first song that I ever sang with my parents in their band, because they're both jazz musicians. And it is Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall
wonderful voice of Elvis Presley, and I do mean that. And that song, I Can't Help Falling in Love. And it was a choice of Leah Mari, who's one of my guests, along with Brittany Smith. And we're talking about My Fair Lady, which opens on the 12th of December here at the Artscape Opera House. You two have a long run ahead of you because there's the all over Christmas and New Year here, the festive season. Then you go to Johannesburg, the Monte Cassino.
Yes.
And then it moves to Durban, the same production. Mm-hmm. So that's a long run.
It's very exciting. I'm so excited for everyone to get a chance to see this. I think it's really going to resonate with South African audiences. So I'm excited that we have a lot of time.
And you come from Durban, so you'll be able to show up.
Yep.
And apparently you're not going to Durban.
No, I'm not. I'll be coming back home to do some of the opera shorts that we did earlier in this year, but with a different composer in mind. I'll just drop hints and say Schoenberg.
That's very interesting, but you're not going to give anything away.
No, I can't. Not yet.
Okay, very well. And so after that, do you know yet, Leah, what you'll be doing if you look into the dim and distant past or future, I should say?
Yeah.
Well, after My Fair Lady.
I've had the pleasure of also doing some film in this past year. As an actress, you know, musical theatre has such an important place in my heart, but I also really love the medium of film. So I shot two features this year, and so I can look forward to their release next year, which is very exciting.
Tell us what they are, just briefly.
The one I can tell you is called Vixen, and the other I can't necessarily share any information just yet. I know. I'm very excited for the year ahead, and you know, it's tricky with an industry like ours where, you know, we're freelancers and often we have to take things one show at a time, but I certainly am happy with my two feet in this one. I'll be honest. I'm very happy to be here and to be working on My Fair Lady. And I have full faith that what is meant for me after that will come and will show itself.
Mm-hmm. What has been so rewarding speaking to you two is the enthusiasm that you have for the show, this production, and your colleagues, your cast colleagues. There's this incredible kind of excitement that you're both exhibiting for the show.
I think it's because it's such a lovely piece, and it's such a well-known piece that I think we're all just so excited to be a part of it, you know? Yeah. And also, I mean, it's such a testament to what we have built in the room, because we are constantly giggling and laughing.
And crying.
We haven't mentioned him yet, but Graham Hopkins.
Yes, I love him. Colonel Pickering, yes.
He's perfect.
Yes, he really is.
Yeah. That's the best way to describe him. He's perfect and he's honest. And I mean, just working with him with everyone, but I mean, I watch Graham and he's a seasoned professional and he's so giving and so sharing. I mean, he's such a blessing to work with. So I think we're all just, we see and we're very aware of the opportunity that we have in our hands and we're all making 100% the most of
it. And interestingly enough, Mark told me earlier in rehearsal that Graham actually played Higgins a couple of years ago. So it's very interesting seeing him as Pickering. I would love to find the video or recording or something of him doing Higgins, because I think he would have been absolutely hilarious.
And Pickering is a small-ish role, so he's on stage a lot.
He's ever present.
I don't think it's a small role. I don't think it's a small role. You need to know your way about acting to portray this character, and I think he was perfectly cast.
Absolutely.
You've certainly whet my appetite. Thank you for being so exciting and excited about the show, My Fair Lady. And my guests have been Leah Mari and Brittany Smith, who are alternating the role of Eliza Doolittle, the Cockney lass turning into a princess.
Yes.
And it opens on the 12th of December here at the Artscape Opera House. So something not to miss. And I think one of you said it was a date.
Lovely date night opera. I mean, not opera, musical. My head. A lovely date night musical. And people need to hurry because the tickets are flying.
I'm sure they are. But thank you. And we're going to end. What are we going to end with? Billie Eilish. Chihiro. What is that?
Yes. It is just a song that I do yoga to, and also that I vibe to in my car if I have to speak like a Gen Z.
I love Billie Eilish too, so we're going to spice up FMR just for this one song.
Thank you very much to both of you.
Thank you for having us, Rodney.
Seeing on stage.
Yay!
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
Thank you. Escape into the magical world of Alan Menken as Lamta presents Part of Your World at Peter Turin's Theatre on the Bay from the 27th of November until the 7th of December. Relive all the musical memories from the soundtrack of our lives, from The Little Mermaid to Aladdin, Hercules to Little Shop of Horrors, everyone a hit. Ring in the festivities with Lamta's Part of Your World, on stage only at Theatre on the Bay. Book now at WebTickets.